It's 4:06 and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later, we'll talk about the history of America as told through 101 objects in the Smithsonian's collection.
First, the Food and Drug Administration announced today that it wants to start requiring producers to gradually phase out artificial trans fats in their food. These fats have been linked to numerous health problems. Many food producers have already taken steps to phase them out.
And we want to hear from you. What do you think about that decision? Have you made efforts already to try to remove trans fats from your own diet? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Joining us now is Michael Jacobson. He's executive director of the Center for Science and the Public Interest. Michael, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Glad to be on your show.
So first of all, what is the thing we're taking out of food here? What are trans fats?
Trans fats are formed when liquid vegetable oil is treated with hydrogen and it becomes more solid. There used to be a lot of trans fat in Crisco, in margarines, and some other foods. And the problem with it is the most harmful fat in the food supply. It promotes heart disease. It raises the bad cholesterol, lowers the good cholesterol, and it also stiffens arteries. So it's bad stuff.
And when I see on a label partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, that's usually the trans fat bearing part of the ingredient list?
That's right. That's the ingredient that introduces this artificial trans fat into packaged foods. There's a little bit of trans fat in the food supply from meat fat and milk fat. But you can have skim milk and very low-fat beef, and you wouldn't get much, if any. But the bulk of it has come from the added partially hydrogenated fats in packaged foods and in restaurant foods.
So why do restaurateurs, why do food processors add the stuff to food? What do they get out of it?
Well, it's been cheap, and some foods need a hard fat, like partially hydrogenated oil. Some of those partially hydrogenated so-called oils have the consistency of ivory soap. And as every baker knows, you need a solid fat, like butter, or a solid margarine that has trans fat, to get a flaky crust, flaky pastries. You can't use liquid vegetable oil. And so oil processors and bakers have figured out what are good substitutes. And so New York City, they banned trans fat from restaurants and bakeries. Consumers didn't notice the difference. McDonald's said it didn't get a single complaint. Bakeries initially hollered that their survival is in doubt. But they all changed and are serving baked goods that are healthier for the consumer.
So a lot of people might be listening and say, okay, maybe it's not so great for us. Does it really merit effectively banning it by the FDA?
Well, at its peak of use in the mid-2000s, 2005, 2004, Harvard University scientists estimated that trans fat was causing 50,000 premature deaths every year. 50,000, it's a lot of deaths. And now I would estimate 75% of the trans fat is gone because of state laws, lawsuits that we and others have filed, huge adverse publicity, and the FDA requiring trans fat information on the nutrition facts labels of packaged foods. So 75% is gone, so that 50,000 estimate of deaths per year is way down. And if the FDA follows through and finalizes its preliminary decision, that would get rid of these unnecessary deaths totally.
Talking about the FDA announcement that they're looking to get trans fats out of food in America, they've just kicked off a 60-day public comment period. We have Michael Jacobson with us from the Center for Science and the Public Interest. What do you think? Do you think it's high time that trans fats were banned, or do you think they should be there and consumers make the decision at the point of sale? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234, or send an email, talk@WPR.org. Michael, as I've looked around at response to this, that's one of the most common objections. Again, we know it's bad, but I'm a consumer. I should be able to decide if I want to buy something with that ingredient or if I don't. I can buy cigarettes if I want them or not. Is it a personal choice issue?
Well, the FDA needs to enforce the law. The law says, thou shalt not add dangerous ingredients to foods. And this is clearly a dangerous one. And I can't imagine that consumers will object, because there hasn't been a single complaint, as far as I know of, when 75% of the trans fat has been removed from restaurants and packaged foods. You know, the food looks the same, tastes the same, costs the same. You know, there's just no point in objecting. And, you know, I suppose if somebody, for some perverse reason, wanted to eat partially hydrogenated oil, they could buy it from some chemical supply house. But, you know, if it tasted different, you know, if you couldn't make French fries without partially hydrogenated oil, then I could see people objecting that they want their French fries. But companies have found substitutes for every use. And we've looked at different categories of food where some brands have trans fat. And in every one of those categories, cookies, cakes, pie crusts, and so on, we found other brands that don't have trans fat. So companies clearly could make it. You know, we found microwave popcorns have, some brands like Pop Secret and Jolly Time, have large amounts, 5 grams, 4 grams, which is twice as much trans fat as the Heart Association recommends for an entire day in one modest serving of popcorn. Those brands have a lot of trans fat, but Orville Redenbacher's and Act Two and so on, they don't have any trans fat. And what I've heard is the reason that some companies don't want to change is they would have to buy a slightly more expensive packaging that that can hold more liquid oils. You know, so that's just a commercial reason, and there's no difference in price. Consumers, you know, they're going to end, if they buy the ones with trans fat, they may end up paying the price at the hospital.
So there is apparently some room for trans fats to stick around, it sounds like, but a tall bar. Companies who don't support taking the fats out of their food, the burden would be on them to prove scientifically that partially hydrogenated oils are safe to eat. Do you think that anybody could rise to that bar and keep trans fats in their food if they wanted to?
I don't think so. And, you know, I work on this a lot, and I haven't heard companies for years saying trans fat is not harmful. Instead, they say it's expensive to reformulate, or we've tried and we can't find a substitute oil. You know, it's those kinds of arguments. But, you know, I think, universal agreement that it's dangerous. I could see some companies saying, we haven't been able to change to find a substitute for our cherry turnovers, and maybe FDA would grant an exemption for them. Or, you know, maybe there's some, I heard of one company that uses just a tiny amount of partially hydrogenated oil for a flavor powder that it puts on snack chips. You know, so maybe that company would say, you know, this is just trivial, don't worry about it. But I think hopefully next year the FDA will issue a final rule that gets virtually all the trans fat out of virtually all the foods in which it's now used.
We'll go to our callers now. We have Alex with us in Stoughton. Alex, hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. My question is there any potential risk that the guest sees there being dangers to these alternatives that are being used instead of trans fat? Can we foresee something being realized in the future that says, oh, these weren't bad for us, these weren't good for us either?
Gotcha. Alex, thanks for the call. His line cut out there at a critical moment. He's saying that, are there risks of the things we would substitute for the trans fats?
I haven't heard of any. Trans fat is is and partially hydrogenated oil. Those are the worst fats in the food supply. So for a baked good, a company will have to switch to another hard fat. But when we've looked, the amounts of the saturated fat that replaces the trans fat is usually less. So and also, even if it's the same or more, trans fat is much more harmful than saturated fat, so there's a benefit.
So we know that...
Okay. The one downside is that some companies are switching to palm oil, and a great deal of palm oil is produced and imported from Indonesia and Malaysia. And to harvest much of the... or to plant palm oil, palm trees, oil palm trees, companies destroy rainforest. And when the rainforest goes, so do the rhinoceroses and orangutans and other animals in the rainforest. So there's that that issue. But the palm oil industry is trying to develop better practices so they don't destroy more rainforest. And there are no orangutans in South America where some palm oil, or in Africa, where some palm oil is sourced.
All right, thanks for the call, Alex. We'll go to James in Kenosha now. James, hi.
Hi, how are you doing? This is James. I called because I was listening and I needed to comment. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I think it's absurd, the idea that someone could choose what's harmful and what's not harmful for people. That's a decision that they're allowed to make as human beings. I mean, they tried to ban smoking, but everyone knows smoking is bad for you, yet people do it. It's because they decided that they're willing to undergo the risk. You drink enough water, it's going to be bad for you. At what point are you going to draw the line? Are you going to draw the line with sugar? And then the added cost to society of hiring all these regulators that could be going out and actually producing some substitutes if they had industry and capitalism to spur them along. Instead, they're going around regulating markets and not letting the market work itself out and telling people what they're not allowed and allowed to put in their bodies. It's absurd.
Gotcha, James. I want to get a response from our guest, Michael. We don't need the regulations. Personal choice.
Well, there may be some people who really want a more harmful French fry or potato chip, but I would venture to say that 99.9% of the public isn't even aware of this issue and would be gratified that the government is stepping in where companies have not been responsible enough, and then the government would ban this unhealthy product. You know, it's crazy to leave something that's unhealthy in when the companies can make the exact same product with a healthier oil.
All right, Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Michael Jacobson. He's executive director of the Center for Science in the Public Interest.
Coming up, we'll find out about the 101 objects that define American history, according to a new book from the Smithsonian. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.